This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
We are broadcasting on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation, and we wish to acknowledge them as traditional owners. We'll also pay our respects to the elders past, present and future, and to the elders of other communities who may be here listening today, and to the brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI community. This is Triple Bypass, coming up first by Alicia Champion. Stay tuned.
My, I'm so bi, I can't stop my wandering eye. To taste them all before I'm dead.
Hot boys to my back, soft girls to my front. How the hell do I choose when I want everyone? This isn't a game for some boyfriend. I love them all the same. This is my problem.
My, I'm so bi. I can't stop my wandering eye. My, I'm so bi. Want them all, the girls and guys. I ain't afraid to talk of sex with the XY or the XX. It's something I can't hide, so I'll wear it with pride, like Salander with Woo. And Mikael Blomqvist too.
Hot boys to my back, soft girls to my front. How the hell do I choose when I want everyone? This isn't a game for some boyfriend. I love them all the same. This is my problem.
My, I'm so bi. I can't stop my wandering eye. My, I'm so bi. I want them all, my girls and guys. Gender bender, trans, whatever, any shape or size. Don't care, cause it's your eyes in which I wanna stare. No matter what you got down there.
My.
Stop my wandering eye. My, I'm so bi. I want them all, my girls and guys.
Neither are we. You're listening to Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9. We're the show for the B's, the P's and the Q's, the multi-gender attracted community in the LGBTI rainbow. My name's Ruby.
I'm James.
And we are joined by a very special guest, Michelle Shepherd.
Hello.
And we have a trainee. We have John, who is Melbourne's rubber man.
Good evening. Very nice to be here.
It's so great to have you. And so John is currently doing the radio training course. So he is our intern.
We have a proper superhero in the studio tonight.
Well, there are a lot of superheroes that are all rubbery. That's like Elastigirl from The Incredibles. The second one is coming out soon. That's a tangent. That's not relevant. I'm just very excited. So, but we're here mostly to talk with Michelle. So Michelle is an American trans woman who has been on Joy a fair bit on a few different spaces and currently has a podcast, Trans POV.
Mm-hmm. I'm also regularly part of Family Matters.
Matters as well, which is coming back.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that one's coming back. And you're also a regular blogger, and you do a lot of work in diversity. You're also, I think, the first trans woman involved with the AFL?
Yeah, well, not the first in the AFL, but sort of like the first who did a part of media and announcements and speaking at an AFL event, yes.
And you were the co-founder of Bulldog Pride.
Yes, I am.
Very exciting. So I go for Melbourne Demons, so we just kind of don't have a whole lot of pride. It's been a very long time. The last time I think we won a grand final was in the 50s.
I think they've got actually a pride group now, though.
Yeah.
The Ruby Demons.
The Ruby Demons, that's right. It was a bit disappointing that Melbourne was one of the sports that did not come out in with a one way or the other for the Yes campaign. So there were a few that didn't come out there, and it was a bit frustrating. But, you know, I like the Rubies. They are
but
very fun.
My thing is, though, and on that note, you know, there's been a lot of negativity towards different clubs for that. But since then, there's a lot of administration changes within a lot of clubs. And when they're actually making up for that now with the stuff they're doing behind the scenes, which I've seen.
Ah, I'm really glad to hear that. Well, I like the Rubies. They've got a pretty great Twitter feed, so I'm all about that.
Nice.
So Michelle, you identify as a bisexual trans woman.
Yes, I do.
Which is, you've got a few intersections there going on insofar as visibility and representation, and particularly in far as dating. We'll get into that soon.
Yes.
So you've become one of the more prominent figures of the trans female community in Australia. So, and you were marching at Mardi Gras this weekend.
I was. I was actually involved with the company I'm with full time during the day. One of the major financial institutions, and it was an amazing thing. You know, when you're sitting there at the beginning at the van before it gets ready to take off, and you hear the machines and everything firing up and the music going crazy and everyone's jumping up and down, and then all of a sudden you start moving and budging and everyone starts screaming and hollering because you're ready to go. But as you go over that little hump of the hill and you see the crowds of people just screaming and hollering and flashes, and you're like, you're just in a moment. It's unreal.
And you got a pretty spectacular headdress, too.
Oh, I did. My massive rainbow tiara, crown, whatever you want to call it.
I'm so glad you got to keep that.
I look like a damn... I look like a massive queen walking around with it, so, yeah.
Well, you would have blended right in.
Totally.
So I'm glad that you didn't have too big a time, so you're here today with us today. I have some friends who are at Mardi Gras who are still comatose, you know, and more power to them. But... So do you think that, one of the things I talked about recently about Mardi Gras was that, you know, it's still the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras, and there's still a few issues insofar as which communities kind of do have a show, but there was a really good a few trans groups and trans people marching.
There were some good trans, look, there's some trans groups over there. Wasn't a lot of talking that was happening, because if, you know, if I had known more about them, I probably would have talked to them more as well, too. Mm. I think a lot of the different corporations that were there, a lot of people get angry that it's just some corporate stuff, but they have to understand that the companies that are there actually are doing a lot of work behind the scenes. It isn't just pink washing that everyone assumes.
Yeah.
Like the company that I'm with, I do a lot of public speaking within there. I do internal training within the diversity.
So is it all internal, though?
All internal stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
Companies have to look at their internal stuff. We're focusing on how to actually onboard trans people. How do we actually engage trans customers more as well? Things like with voice, etc. So there's a lot that's actually going on that people don't see, that the companies don't promote, but because they don't really have to.
Yeah. I suppose there's also the question of that the investing in the community organizations as well. So people who don't have access to the jobs even. And so I suppose that was one of the things I talked about on Triple J, was that I would like to see if Netflix wants to march, which they did, are they putting money into our organizations? Because during the Yes campaign, you know, we had 600 sponsors and no money. So, you know, and as much as, you know, it's great that there is internal training, because that is very important. Employability and poverty rates are a huge issue.
Well, that's one thing that is actually a big issue. Companies talk about how they're diverse, how they are diverse and they are inclusive. But unfortunately, there's nobody putting money in those departments. And a lot of the pride areas are actually, they're just bringing in Karen from accounting and then they're doing something like that. So there's no real funding that's actually been put into place. Now, mind you, some of these organizations are putting in to, say, the Mardi Gras itself and helping towards the publicity and all the work that needs to go into it. But, yes, I agree there should be companies putting more work into, say, okay, let's work at, work on, you know, Aboriginal employment or even trans employment. But I have seen some of the companies actually doing, because I do a lot of work with different companies, do a lot of different corporate spaces, and I've seen a lot of companies actually reaching out to different groups out there, like Fitted for Work or some of the refugee employment spaces, to actually start employing these people and getting them in as well. So there's a lot of that work happening.
Yeah, excellent. I'm really glad to hear. I suppose, what do you think as far as the work that goes into dismantling the issues that cause those problems in the first place?
Look, I
know we're getting really hot. Don't worry, we've got some lighthearted stuff coming up. I promise.
Look, I the problems with employment for trans employment, and I'm going to be honest, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me specifically, but one of the beauties of the work that I do is I actually build bridges between communities. I'm one of the few trans people who can actually sit down with, say, a lesbian community, or sit down with, say, the gay community, or sit down with, say, just women's issues. Like, I'm speaking for International Women's Day as well, and talking about how, you know, International Women's Day isn't just about cisgendered, white, heterosexual women. But I'm able to go and build a conversation around that and come to an equal ground where we understand each other. The problem I'm finding is the employment issue when it comes to, say, trans specifically, right, is it's on both sides. All right. So there's a lot of companies that are actually very inclusive and very, they basically accept. There's acceptance.
Yeah.
But what they're lacking is education.
Yep.
And so what they're saying, okay, well, we understand this. So now what we're going to do is we're going to start training all of our employees. So Michelle, we want you to go around the home floor, all of our different departments. We want to train them about language, acceptance, how to actually deal with certain situations. Great. But the problem is we also have to come to the party as well and not come in with a big fuck you, like with a finger in the air going, how dare you this, you misgendered me, or you don't contribute to, towards this or whatever. But you have to understand that they can only do so much. And we've come this far. We need you to come this far, because then we can come the next step, then you can come the next step as well.
So a bit of extending faith.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But then I've had people come to me and go, nope, they're transphobic. I'm just going to go and be a prostitute. Right, that's just being reactive, and your reaction to the situation will determine its outcome.
Oh, cool. And like, and it's interesting as well, because you've got that whole cycle of what their past experiences have been. If that's been like a situation that they've encountered so many times that it is very much like a thousand cuts situation as opposed to,
See, I've lost employment. I went from 20 years being an IT consultant. I went from being project management to traveling technician to everything. And all of a sudden, when I lost everything, I had to change my tact. And when I changed my tact, I found that I actually was getting accepted in places. And that's what it takes.
Well, so I'm going to have to try that. I'm a little argumentative. Dear listeners, you may have noticed. I have many hats. If you want to have an argument or just have a bit of a chat, you can message us on 0427-JOY949. Email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can also catch us on Twitter at Triple Bypass. That's with an I. Or find us on Facebook, also Triple Bypass. We'll be coming right up, but first we have, coming up is Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day and the very bisexual Billy Joe Armstrong. Enjoy, stay tuned, this is Joy!
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
Fucked up. this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one.
Is Joy 94.9 and you are listening to Triple Bypass. We're here to put the B in LGBTIA.
Mind your P's and Q's and B's.
P's, Q's, B's, all the multi-gender attracted loving people, the Bi Plus community.
Tonight we're having tea.
BT. Like a what is it? A G and T, but not that. That would be BT's.
Look, B and T. That's bourbon enough. And tonic.
Bombay Sapphire. That's right. I got there eventually. My name's Ruby.
And I'm James.
And we're joined by Michelle.
Hello, hello.
And John.
Hello there.
Michelle is our guest tonight, who is a proud activist in the trans community here in Australia. And John is, as well as being Melbourne's rubber man, that is an official title, not a, also a superhero possibly. He looks, dresses like a superhero, which is very cool. He's also our intern for tonight because he's training. Baby radio person.
So I'm not allowed to do anything at all here. I'm just solely to learn. Mustn't touch any of the buttons, especially not that one. No.
Listen to that dulcet tone, though. Yeah, you'll be fine. Before that, we were just talking about Michelle's work in helping trans people find employment and in doing some sensitivity training in the workplace, and also that her experience at Mardi Gras. But I think we've got some other questions now.
Yeah, so if there are people out there who are listening who would like, you know, I'd really like to support trans people, especially in a professional setting. What are some of the just big picture ways that they can just be more supportive and be a better ally?
Look, I think it's just come down to just really listening and paying attention. At the end of the day, you know, we're dealing with many different people, say, on the phones as say, our customers. We're dealing with different people we work with day to day. And you don't know how everyone's really identifying. Okay? So in society, it's okay to be masculine. So Rosie, Ruby, if you just start dressing and doing everything masculine or whatever yourself, you'd have no problem. Nobody would give you drama. They would probably just think you're probably more lesbian than anything.
I've
right?
got more bi badges. It's fine. I've got
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah, exactly. But we, as in this room, and I'm going to use this loosely, those of us who have lived socially as men in society start becoming more feminine, then all of a sudden we start getting different labels and we start treating lot differently. So a lot of us in this room being bi would go and not show those sorts of things in the workplace to begin with, being bi. But being trans, as a 6'3" trans woman walking in there, people are immediately going to go, oh, does she drag? Is she trans? Or what is she? And it's just, if you've got the ability to go and offer say guidance or acceptance and say, hey, I know this person who's really good at this and we could really use this kind of training here. I know who to bring in. And it's basically not taking over that space and trying to teach. It's basically allowing that platform to be created for that person to come in and actually do that training and actually do and use their voice. Sitting down and having a coffee with someone and actually taking the time to listen to them is a really big thing. A lot of trans people actually deal with isolation. So isolation is everything from family, friends, loved ones. I mean, half the time I walk around, I feel like Frankenstein's monster because no one wants to touch you or talk to you because they don't know what to do or if they're going to offend you. And that's a bit on our part. And I'm going to call that out because we actually create an environment of don't talk to that person. I'm going to offend them. I'm going to piss them off. I'm going to this and they're going to go off and I'll just avoid it altogether. It's not transphobia. Transphobia is aggression. It's basically a fear that we've created. And we need to go and start building a better bridge on that.
I suppose, do you think it's fear, or do you think it's people have a fear of being shamed? Because there's a whole aspect of people saying, well, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that.
Frightened of being called out.
Exactly. Yeah. So do you think that's a part of it? Because, you know, even if it is just being told, no, actually, that's not how you'd say it, even if you're being very polite, can get a very hostile reaction.
Oh, so, of course. And that's something that we've created as well. Like, we need to pull back a bit on that and saying, okay, look, I understand that there's a lack of education and you really want some help on that. So I'm happy to go and actually, you know, have that conversation and work with you and find a way that we can actually understand each other a bit better instead of actually saying, no, you're transphobic, cis, hetero, go screw yourself. You know, like, I see that quite often.
Yeah.
And so in these spaces, it's like, okay, how can you help create that voice? If you know somebody who's looking for a job and you know your company's looking, have the conversation with your friends, see if their skills match. Actively try and do that.
We just got a message from Brad, who says, I believe we can all talk together. However, it takes a willingness and effort will from interested parties to want to talk. 12 months ago, I was the Rain Laird Leatherman. Many people assumed I would not openly engage with women due to the Laird being a male-only avenue. I took the opposite approach and tried to make as many of my events and fundraising activities available to all, regardless of gender and sexuality. In doing so, Queer Space was the significant benefactor of my efforts, both financially and by awareness. John knows my attitude on this, as he's one of my great supporters.
It was very kind of you to say that, Brad.
See, and that's one thing with this here exactly, like with the Laird. And I have no problem with exclusive spaces, and we need to have these safe spaces for all of us. But as a trans person, I don't have a space. So being a trans woman, as a non-op trans woman, which means I have no interest in having lower surgery, I'm attracted to men. I'm attracted to women. But, you know, I have gay men saying to me, why are you in our space? And I'm like, well, I'm actually attracted to men as well. And I've never engaged in the gay space because I lived a heterosexual life. So where can I go to actually meet men who are interested in maybe... let's be honest, there are men who just really are interested in cock. And so I want to go to a space that's a bit more inclusive. I can have a beer and drink, but I'm told I'm not allowed in these spaces because, well, you're a woman now and you're not allowed.
It's kind of ironic. It's like they're sort of doing the right thing. And that's like, well, you are a woman. I'm recognizing that you are a woman. I'm not denying your gender. So you're not allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
Exclude you as would exclude any cis woman out there.
Yeah.
We will respect your identity by
and see, this
you.
Is where clubs like that can say, okay, look, you know, let's have Trans Thursdays or something where we just bring in a bunch of trans people, have a billiard night or a pool comp. I mean, I've been in there during the art gallery day, the Laird. And hey, you know, let's do that. I mean, I've actually considered actually going back and dressing in a masculine manner, put my hair up in a ball cap. Yeah, I can't hide the tits. But, you know, I thought maybe I'll just mask it up for a night to go somewhere because, honestly, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
You know, apart from going to a drag bar, which I love drag, don't get me wrong, but I would love to find a place I can go, just have a beer, drink with mates. And if I meet somebody who I have a great conversation with, great. But apart from that, I don't fit. And
finding community.
Yeah, and I actually find even when I spoke to lesbians as well, lesbians have said to me, look, Michelle, since we can't speak to you, I'm going to be honest. I don't know why you trans women keep coming to our space. We don't want to date trans women. You're a man. And then the other person standing next to me goes, if you had surgery anyway, it's like a gaping hole. Haven't you seen it? And I go,
that's a very distressing thing to hear.
Yeah. And I'm so active in the community and I don't say much. And so this is the shit I hear on a daily basis.
I think, and it's interesting because you know, that kind of double rejection from spaces is something that obviously as a bi person you could as well, which is like you haven't picked a side yet.
It's particularly painful if you're hearing rejection like that from people who are often rejected themselves.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, look, and I still keep a smile on my face, and I, you know, like spaces like the Laird, you know, I think they're doing a great job. I have nothing but respect for what they do. But, you know, it'd be great to see some of these spaces actually go and say, hey, maybe what we'll do is we'll have, like, a completely trans-inclusive night on both sides and actually bring some of these people in and give them a space to come play.
Michelle, is the answer, though, understanding? I mean, you started to take us along that lines before.
Yeah, totally.
Because the more is it... So that the more you understand that the other person experiences things the same way that you experience them, then you've got a common platform for joining.
Exactly. And we need to have that more. We need to sit down together and start speaking more and having these conversations together more. Where I speak to some people and they're like, Michelle, I can easily talk to you. I have a hard time speaking to some of the other folks. What can I do?
And that's, we'll find out what we can do a bit more right after this. We're going to be playing Under Pressure by David Bowie and Queen, two very beautiful, led by very beautiful bi men. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass. You're on Joy.
No. This is me, Melissa Etheridge. Keep Joy out loud and proud.
You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 4.9. Thanks, Melissa. That was Under Pressure by David Bowie and Queen. We're here to put the B, the P, and the Q in the LGBTI family. We are. My name's Ruby.
And I'm James.
We are joined by Michelle and John, and we have been chatting about Michelle's work in the trans space. And over that last break, we were just talking, had a really interesting discussion around finding spaces that the way that some spaces become exclusory and how that can, like, people who are not perhaps as clearly defined with the cis binary genders can get a bit left out in the cold.
Well, look, trans identities are very complicated. But to break it down to sort of like just some basics, and again, this isn't all of it, but this is sort of like some basic camps that you have. So you've got a lot of trans men who lived majority of their life as, say, a lesbian who dated other women, and then they come out either, say, non-binary or as a man, or sort of like that in the space in between. Very rarely do you see a trans, I see a woman come out as trans man who lived a life as a heterosexual woman who had children and lived that sort of 2.5 picket fence. Very rarely.
But, and that's back to what you were saying a little while ago, that masculinity in people who are coded as women is a lot more accepted.
Exactly. So a lot of ways, trans men, before they transitioned, cross-dressed majority of their life since they were a child.
Yeah.
So
they
can
wear pants.
Cool. Yeah, great. And you wear pants. They got pockets. And so I miss pockets.
Miss
that. I got a bra addiction in here all the time now. But then you got sort of two camps of trans women. You have ones that lived their life as a gay man to begin with. They navigated the gay space. They understood the gay scene. They sort of understand that language. As myself, I lived the heterosexual life up until I was 35 and I came out. But then I didn't know how to navigate the space. You know, I was married again for how many years? So now I'm single. I'm out dating. I'm now another gender. So it's completely like the field.
Did you identify as bisexual before you transitioned?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I was open about it. But I had people constantly saying, you know, don't be talking about that. You know, that's gay. That's this and very negative.
Yeah, people who are coded as bi or pan, like a men, tend to get a pretty rough time. It's like one of the least visible areas of the community.
And bisexuality is so gay.
I found out from a guy that his gay friends had literally given him a fridge magnet that said bi now, gay later.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, okay, look, just because a lot of gay men use bi as like a transitionary period does not mean that everybody does. And if you want to crash on our couch for a week, pick up your stuff when you leave and don't trash it.
Yeah, exactly.
We live here. This is our house.
Yeah, my bi phase has lasted for 23 years so far.
But the problem is for me is then I get people saying, well, why don't you trans people just date yourself? Why don't you date each other? Or why don't you, well, there's this trans thing going on. Why don't you do that trans thing? For me, and as we talked about this before in front of the computer, I'm an advocate within this space.
Yeah.
I'm constantly going to different, and I'm a public.
You got a public profile.
I have a public profile. And so I'm going to places like the AFL, I'm going to different organizations, I'm flying from city to city, and to go and have somebody there with me to go and actually on a date or as my partner aside, I need somebody who's actually in that space and actually, you know, switched on and ready to play the game. And unfortunately, it is a game. But the problem is when I go to sort of these spaces like a swim night or whatever, it's like, oh, Michelle, how about this? Michelle, what are you doing this? And it's like, I'm not here to work. I'm going to shut down. So going to a bar, having a beer, watching the game, gas banging, but whatever, maybe playing pool and just having a good time is what I need. I don't need to be, you know.
So if you manage some sort of venue, please drop us a line and let's talk about a completely gender open night.
Well, in that sense, Michelle, do you just hang around at mainstream venues?
Actually, I don't go to any.
Don't go to any. Well, that's a solution. That's not the ideal one, but it's a solution.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where to go to any. I mean, if you pay attention to my accent, it's not necessarily from here. I lived that heterosexual life. I didn't go out. I have two children. I was home constantly. I go to work. I come home. I do the bed, the bath, the cleaning, the dinner. And when I'm finally single, I'm going, I miss my kids. I wish I had them in my company all the time. But I need to go out and have a beer and have a good time. But unfortunately, I can't go to a local pub because, you know, they're playing Diesel or Cold Chisel or whatever they're playing. And
Nickelback.
And Nickelback.
Poor bastards. Yeah. Oh, sorry, John, that's a bit really
tragic for them.
But, you know, which I have no problem listening to, but at the end of the day, I don't need people touching my boobs and curious because I come across, you know, as a big clown to them.
Yeah, it's a bit of an oddity. Look, if you do have any suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. So that's on 0427JOY949. You can email us as well at onair@joy.org.au.
Yes, please.
You can also send us a tweet at Triple Bypass or on Facebook at Triple Bypass. And also, if you do think of something later on, shoot us an email at triplebypass@joy.org.au or make sure Michelle gets it.
Now, mind you, when it comes to drag, I actually am a big fan of drag. And we won't go into the RuPaul thing tonight. That's a whole other story and whatever. But
you need to learn what the flag is. I'm just saying.
I know. But the thing is I'm actually trying to put together a way to start bridging the communication between the drag community and the trans community, that see how we can actually help each other a bit more as well. And I think we actually are, because I've actually interviewed RuPaul Drag Race contestants before, and there are quite a few who actually do identify as non-binary.
Yeah,
and one of them broke down on air with me, going, you know, this is what I'm dealing with, and I'm going, wow, you're like, but people don't see this.
I think without going into RuPaul himself, I think what was interesting was seeing that after that, there were a lot of people talking about how the drag space has always been a trans-inclusive space, and it's always been amongst trans people. Mm. And that's a part of the history of drag. So, you know, that's actually been a whole part of it. Often people who, from what I, again, I'm just talking about people, secondhand accounts, but some people who, before they transition, drag is how they start to kind of get that foot up and start to find out what feels comfortable.
But this is the reason why, and then going further into like the community and stuff and engaging community, we're talking about dating. Well, you look at dating apps that are actually saying to actually block trans people. I don't want to be contacted by transgender people. Or before recently, Tinder, there were people being blocked to a transgender on Tinder apps and stuff.
It was very just male female.
Very male and female, and they would actually report you to Tinder and you get kicked off because you were transgender. And so, you know, we struggle in that sort of space because we want to go out and meet people, but it's, or I've got people who say to me, I can't be seen with you in public. I'm actually, you know, I work at a council and I can't be seen with you in public. So I'll come to your place if you want to host and we can have some fun. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm vetting you, man. Like,
so is that kind of instant objectification and fetish? It's fetish, really.
Yeah.
It's treated like a,
yeah.
And that's of course something that, you get that wonderful crossover of trans and bi, both areas of the community that experience high levels of objectification and sexualization.
I'm like a get out of gay jail free card. It's like, it's like she's a woman still. She has a dick, but she's a woman, so it's not really like gay.
It's like that. It's not gay if it's in a three-way.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's an interesting space because I feel that there was some studies that came out recently about trans acceptance internationally, and they found that in Australia, only about 10 to 15% of people actually knew a trans person. Do you think that's got a part of it as well, the fact that they're still just that, it's still like a distant, it's like not, people don't have a face to put with it, so, you know, it's still kind of like a shadow group, much like the LGBT community.
Should clarify as well, that's 10 to 15% of people who know that they know a trans
obviously.
Person,
so, there'd
be a few who are closeted, unfortunately.
And I'd be willing to hazard a guess that the further you got away from the Melbourne CBD, the less likely you would be to say that you'd run into a trans person.
Well, I'm actually like the face of where I'm at in the suburb. I go into like the local bakery, I go into local whatever, and people are like, hey, Michelle, how are you going? But we don't actually have any real public faces when it, trans or anything to associate with. I mean, the closest thing we have is RuPaul's Drag Race, but it is actually doing us a better favor than the service. See, that's over in America, and it's the trans there.
We've
nothing
got Kathy
here.
McGowan here, but she's
Jordan.
Jordan, that's right. But you know, and Kathy McGowan is great, except for when she is trashing safe schools.
Yeah. But even then, it's like, you know, someone that people can actually relate to. And so at this point, a lot of middle income sort of families, whatever, actually can associate with RuPaul Drag Race. And they seem fine with that. And if that's how they're associating me and they're going, oh, that really makes sense. How about this? They want to start asking questions. I'm like, great. Okay, great. Let's have that conversation. And it always ends up positive.
And there's also that difficulty that it's like, you know, when people who are, you know, non-cis, it can be such hard work just, you know, living your life. And then to take on the extra burden of trying to educate the community, it's like, oh.
It's so not much, easy.
That's so where more. Allies come in.
Exactly.
Guys, we're going to go to a quick break. Coming up is a song called Blues Clues by Blackheart. So Blackheart is a 19-year-old vocalist and producer from New York who is currently passing through Australia and sent us a few sneak peeks from their new project, which is coming out on March 16th, which is called The Vibrant Pink. You can find more of their stuff on SoundCloud at Blackhearted and on Spotify. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass. You're on Joy.
You might say that the moon is a ready-made way station in space.
They get blast like the stereo. I won't last, I get rid of you. Scars inside and on outside. Understand what you do to me. Some loose leaf. Suicidal mind, that's true. Always sending shots and I don't duck. Kinda like a game of Blues Clues. Nigga so stuck, tell me why you so stuck. Space boy, never give a fuck. Blackheart, never give a fuck. Kick you to the curb, watch you tumble. Best believe I ain't scared with the rumble. They get blast like a stereo.
up. I am not stable, I'll never stop. I am not able, you hate a lot. You talk a lot, I'm at the top. Never gon' drop, yeah. Hop in the shop, get what I want. Get what I want, yeah. Do what I wanna, hot like a sauna. Hit like a tonna. Sending shots and I don't duck. Kinda like a game of Blue's Clues. Nigga so stuck, tell me why you so stuck. Space boy, never give a fuck. Black heart, never give a fuck. Kick you to the curb, watch you tumble. Best believe I ain't scared with the rumble. They get blast like a stereo. Like a stereo.
This is Joy 94.9 and you've just tuned in to Triple Bypass. We're the Bi Plus show here on Joy, so that's bi, pan, queer, anyone's multigender attracted, whether you're curious, hetero or homo flexible, it's all for you. That song was Blue's Clues by Blackheart, who is a 19-year-old producer who's passing through Australia from New York. They're releasing a project on March 16th called The Vibrant Pink. And you can find more of their stuff on SoundCloud or on Spotify. My name's Ruby.
I am James.
We are joined by Michelle.
Hello.
And John.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We've been chatting about finding venues to hang out at when you don't quite fit into the gay lesbian spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a few great suggestions. If you've got any suggestions on where trans people can go, where bisexual people can go, just have a good time, not necessarily a queer event, just to drink beer and watch the game, particularly if you're an AFL fan, because Michelle is the co-founder of Bulldog Pride.
How did that happen? Can I ask about that?
But first, I'm going to put up the number. It's 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au.
Well, I actually stopped going to the game when I came out. I often went when I was still presenting as a man. As much as I could, because I knew if I was going to engage within the community, especially in business, I knew that a business deal was made over a pint and a pie. And I said, "You need to have a team. It's questionable if it's Collingwood. I was threatened if I barracked for Collingwood or Carlton in my ex's household that I wasn't allowed into the family's home.
Fair.
So I said, fair enough. Okay. So my kids are Doggies fans since the day they were born. This is where I'm going. Now, when I came out, I was a bit skeptical because I just like, okay, I'm 6'3" trans woman. I'm going to stand out. Like, I am the dog's balls. And so I went and met a friend of mine who does a lot of AFL work and doing Pride Space, which was in the Purple Bombers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'll go hang out here with them. At least I'm being social again and getting out there. I really enjoyed it, and look, they had their own little dramas and stuff they were going on with, and I was quite busy, and I said, look, I really appreciate what they were doing, and they were including me, but it still wasn't my team, it wasn't my space.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, screw it. So I went to Twitter, and I set up an account, and I loved the phrase, be more bulldog, and bulldog supporters are just proud of their community and the team, so I said, Bulldog Pride. So I said, I'm going to create a Twitter account. And let's see who was out there.
It was one of the first, it was quite an entrenched team because it was one of the first working class teams that basically put their own team together and didn't like have to rely on corporate sponsorships and businesses.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we were very proud of is we were just us and it was about the community. And so I found about three other people that came with me and we said, okay, well, what do we do? And so we were engaging the club. We said, this is this thing that we want to create. And from there, the club have been completely supportive. They've helped us redesign the logo. They've helped create the space. I've actually done education training with their administration staff on awareness and sensitivity. So all the staff that were there at the Pride game, the majority of them, I'd say probably about 80% of the staff, were trained by myself on sensitivity, on how to engage in case there was a problem. The club took my advice on having strictly GLOW officers at the game as well, which was very important. They're gay and lesbian liaison officers who actually deal with the LGBT discrimination, etc.
And they've got a podcast on Joy, much like you, Michelle.
Much like me. And so, yeah, so they were really aware of this. So I'm going to be even going further and working with playing groups and stuff like that. I work close with a few different players and people within it. It was one of the winning moments for me after I did the announcement stuff on Joy. I went downstairs and I was speaking to Peter Gordon, and I said to him, I said, absolutely love this scarf. And I said, it was beautiful. It's very vintage looking. And he goes, oh, have you gotten one? I said, no. And he threw it over my shoulder, and he goes, oh, here you go. And he goes, I have the sweat of the president. You know, don't wash that. And I'm like, wow, thank you. Well, next thing you know, I'm on the balcony sitting between...
What's so special about this?
You know, there's the CEO, you've got Peter Gordon, the president, you've got Kane Little, the CEO of Carlton, and you got Mark, the president of Carlton. And there's the five of us sitting there on the balcony watching the game, and I'm going, what's going on? How did I get here?
I don't follow the football, but as an outsider sort of looking in, it seems... like there's rapid change happening.
There's massive rapid change.
As far as like queer acceptance and
trans acceptance. Look, the AFL itself is trying to keep up, and they've got a massive brand that they're going to protect. Every one of these organizations who are actually doing the Mardi Gras, who are standing up and doing stuff and trying to make change, they can only make change so fast that they don't want to destroy their brand overnight with it. There's even like holding companies who are like the parent companies of, say, some of these product brands that we're drinking here, you know, right now. Even things like spirits, for example. I'm working with a company who's a really big spirits
company.
We're
not drinking spirits on
the iPod. No. But there's actually one company who sells spirits, who it's their parent company. It was so inclusive, but the brand itself is not an LGBT product.
Yeah.
And I'm working with them in their parent company, but you see a lot of this going on.
Well, it's like how, like one example would be Dove. So Dove does these ads that are all about women and natural beauty. Mm. And the parent company also owns Lynx. And a lot of the Lynx things are like, if you know, have like a guy in pigtails saying like, this is what she thinks if you sound like that. It's like, that's a very conflicting messaging there, buds.
Yeah. And the change has to happen overnight. You can't just do it like that. Because all of a sudden people are like, people stopping and going, and it's like whiplash going, what the just happened? And so there's a lot more going on than we realize, but we have to have a bit of patience. We can't have it overnight.
Of course, but I think there's also that if you can't see it going on, you can't blame people for still asking for more.
Of course.
Which is the other thing, and that's all about the visibility.
If you've been enjoying the chat we've been having tonight, you can check us out in a few days. It'll be up on the as a podcast on joy.org.au/triplebypass and also on iTunes. You can find all of our previous shows as well.
Also, we'll be putting up a interview that I did earlier today with The Bicast, which is the original bisexual podcast that is broadcast out of the United States, sponsored by US Binet with Lynette. And so Lynette is a incredible activist who came out at 55 as a bisexual person, has been making that podcast. And she came out through discovering the online Buffy community.
Nice.
And so, you know, and she's now 60 and she's been running that podcast for 5 years, and we had a good chat, and I may have teed up a few times, which is not that unusual when you're talking about community. And you can also find that out the podcast app on Android if you are not a fan of the iPhones, the iPods, the iPads, the Steve Jobs memorabilia.
Apple things.
Apple things. Do they call them Apple things? Yes, they do. Company. We are winding up for the night, guys, but it's been such a deep pleasure. Now, I just have a quick chat about John's intersection. So you mentioned before we come on air that there are a few different communities that you kind of float around in. Would you like to discuss that with us?
So, as the Melbourne rubber man, I mix with a lot of our kink community in Melbourne and hang out both with the gay scene as well as the mainstream kink community. But I'm also into theatre, and so I hang out with some theatre people. I also enjoy hanging out at local bars in Fitzroy. I'm also a social worker, so I hang out with social workers. I hang out with lots and lots of different people. And the important thing is that you be comfortable and be accepted wherever you are, doing whatever you happen to do. And I feel enormously happy and proud to be who I am, and I generally find that I am accepted wherever I am. I wear latex a lot. I'm wearing latex right now. You can't tell that on the radio, but I actually am.
We can stay on brand.
We'll make sure we'll get a photo.
And if I'm going out to, say, a bar in Fitzroy, mm-hmm. I'll be wearing latex, and I find that I get accepted no matter what I'm wearing.
I think latex is hitting the mainstream a bit now as well.
Yeah.
So can I ask, what is involved with becoming Melbourne's rubber man? Because I'm guessing it's not the hyperextension, like floppy arms of the superheroes that...
Not to say that you're not Mr. Fantastic as well.
Well, actually, dressing in latex can make you feel like a superhero. There is a certain element of being dressed head to toe in rubber that does make you feel invulnerable.
Especially if you have the underpants on the outside.
Yeah, well, I'm not big on underpants on that. I'm not big on underpants in general, but that's neither here nor there. Too much information. I'm awfully sorry. How did we get into this? But to become the Melbourne Rubber Man, it's a little bit like... a silly beauty competition. You know, it's a competition where guys who like to dress up in rubber wore outfits that we particularly liked. Mm-hmm. We had to put on a bit of an act. Mm-hmm. We had an interview where we were asked all sorts of questions about...
do you get asked things like how to solve, like, world hunger, like they do
course.
On the beauty pageant?
Yeah.
Was there a swimsuit?
World peace was the answer, yes.
And a swimsuit section?
The equivalent of the swimsuit section was... an act where you wore as little latex as possible rather than your favourite outfit.
Is this a men's thing? Are there women's latex competitions and rubber competitions?
This was a men's thing, mm-hmm. and in Australia there aren't any women's latex competitions. Mm-hmm. In fact, internationally there was a Miss International... rubber.
Yeah.
But that competition hasn't run for a number of years. Mm-hmm. There's still a Mr. International Rubber, which I did compete in November last year, and alas, I came second. But
that's not bad internationally.
So I'm the second shiniest man in the world. But there isn't an equivalent for women. Mm. That's partly a reflection of how many things in this world rotate around men. There's plenty of things for men, and there are less things for women. That's generally the case. It's a reflection of the patriarchy that we live in. It's also perhaps a reflection of men being more inclined to be very sexual with one another when they do get out and play, mm-hmm. get out to events.
I think that's also got to do with the acceptance of open sexuality.
Yeah, yeah.
Because one of the things I learned recently, and I was talking about this with Michelle before we came online, just as we start to wrap up, only a minute to go, but in the 70s, during the basically the queer movements that were going on, it was discovered that women do not have a lot of language when it comes to initiating flirtation or romance, because we have been taught to respond and to wait to be initiated. Mm. And one of the issues that can come when you're bisexual is that a lot of women, who, even in that space, will kind of be... Well, the coding will be that they are talking to... someone of the opposite gender, therefore that is a flirtation. And that is how it is understood to be flirtation, because of the genders that people are coded as. And when you're bi and you talk to, or you're pan or you're queer and you talk to everybody and there's a potential for it anywhere, there can be some confusion, particularly when if you're a bi or pan, a woman or femi in any kind of way, of who is actually initiating and if it's flirting or if you're just friends.
Well, it's even worse with trans, because there's so many women I've actually engaged with who are bi who... I actually will just become, I'll friend zone everyone now, because I don't want to go and ruin what good friendship I have found.
Yeah.
If I've read signals wrong.
Yeah, and I think that's about just being able to openly communicate, just to say, hey, I have it. And also, firstly, understanding that if you've got a crush on someone, they don't have to like you back, and you can have a friendship, but them being comfortable being friends, either way. Don't worry, we'll solve all those problems next week. No, next week we've got, I think, Games Against Homophobia coming on. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, which would be awesome. So tune in then. It'll be 9 p.m. And also check out for the podcast, both of this show and of our interview. Thank you so much for listening. My name's Ruby.
I'm James. Oh, and keep listening afterwards, because we're going to be going to Local Roots.
That's right.
Who are doing an International Women's Day show with lots of local female artists, which is going to be fantastic.
So start getting ready. It is this Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle and John. We'll see you guys next week.
This Good night.
Bypass. Stay tuned.
You need surgery. Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
bisexual, triple bypass,
bisexual,
bisexual,
bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.